Thank you, Dwight. You know, that beautiful song reminds all of us that we have been cleansed by the precious blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that we've been cleansed because we have been baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And we have fulfilled that commandment of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and proclaim that sacred and unadulterated message to the rest of the world. People ask me all the time, does baptism really save us? Have you ever been asked that question, or have you perhaps ever entertained it even in your own mind? How does baptism play into one's obedience to Christ and one's salvation? A lot of people ask the question, do you really believe that the water washes away your sin? Absolutely not. It is the blood of Christ that we were singing about a moment ago that takes away our sin. But we also understand that the way that we get in contact with the blood of Christ is by being baptized into the merits of His blood. The Bible in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27 says, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And we know that when one is lowered in water, it is then in that one act of obedience that God cleanses us by the blood of His dear Son. That's why it's important that you understand what baptism is really all about. And I hope this morning that you'll really give special attention and that you'll listen very closely to what we're going to be saying over the next 30 minutes. That is because baptism is such a key issue into your relationship with Christ. And if you've not been baptized, I hope that after you listen for the next few moments, you'll understand the importance of doing so. Your eternity hinges upon this one great command of Almighty God. Now, you may say this morning, I believe in Jesus, and that's wonderful. You may say that I've acknowledged Him as my Lord and my Savior, and that's wonderful. But if you've not taken that additional step that puts you in contact with the blood of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, then something is dramatically missing from your life. And your hope of heaven hinges upon becoming obedient in New Testament baptism. We were singing about the blood of Jesus a moment ago. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Acts 17 and verse 26, "And He hath made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth." Acts chapter 17. Paul made that statement when he was in Athens, Greece one day, and he was on Mars Hill. And he was reminding them not only of the fact that God made them, but that God is the only one who could change their life. For in the end of that message, he went on to say that God, listen, there was a time when He winked or when He blinked, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent of their sin and to become a child of God. God formed you in the very beginning, as a matter of fact. You were blood-born. You were water-born, but you were also blood-born. Your mother fed your body with her blood, believe it or not. And in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." But from that moment on, when Eve conceived of Adam, and she brought forth her children. They were blood-born, but they were also water-born as well. And we'll see that as we go along here today. But the Bible says, because man sinned and left God, our Father who is in heaven made every effort to bring man back to Himself. The Bible in the book of Romans 3 and verse 23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Let me say right up front here, baptism does not save us in and of itself. It does not. For the Bible goes on to say in the book of Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus gave these marching orders to the disciples. He said to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But there is no virtue in just being lowered in water. because that does not save us alone. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But there are six things that I really believe that you ought to know today about baptism that will help you clarify it in your mind forever and forever. It will. Baptism alone does not save us. When Jesus said to baptize him in my name, that in that name meant really by the authority of, or by the authority of Christ. Now, let's talk about it a minute. Baptism alone does not save if it is not done in the proper manner. Now, there are some today who baptize, and they, as they call it, and they baptize in a multiplicity of ways. There are some who pour water on someone's head, or they would sprinkle water on their head. And there are those who would actually lower you in water and raise you out of water. By the way, that really is New Testament baptism. It is not sprinkling, it is not pouring. As a matter of fact, if you were to go back to the original word in the Greek language, the word is baptizo, and that word actually meant when someone was baptizoed, they were actually baptized, they were actually lowered in water. They were covered with water. And the Bible says that we're buried with him by baptism. When you bury a man, you don't go out and sprinkle dirt on him. You don't pour dirt on him, but you bury him. You completely cover that grave. And the Bible says that you and I are buried with Christ through the operation of faith. Galatians chapter 2. If you were to read the book of Romans chapter 6, greater clarification is given. Paul says that we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And notice that the newness of life does not come until after one has been buried in baptism. That circumvents this concept that says, well, I became a new creature the moment I believed in Jesus. Not so. So it would really be an improper manner for one to be baptized thinking that he is already saved. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine and continue in them, for in doing this you will save yourself and those that hear you. Now, what is Paul saying to this young minister? He is saying you need to get back to the Word of God. Get back to the doctrine of Christ. The word doctrine is not a bad word if you understand it. You know, people talk about those that have been indoctrinated, and I'm afraid that many have been indoctrinated with a lot of erroneous teaching and doctrines today. But the Bible says that we are to continue in the doctrine of Christ and in the apostles' doctrine, Acts chapter 2, which they did. In the book of Matthew 28 and verse 19, again, the Bible says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, and he says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now listen to this. You don't baptize in somebody else's name. You don't baptize in the name of some departed saint. But you baptize in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. And to do it in any other way or for any other reason than to remit sin is to do it in an improper way. So baptism alone does not save us if it is not done in the proper manner. That brings me to point number two. If it is not done from the heart, baptism will not save you. It won't. In the book of Romans 2, verse 28 and 29, Paul writes, and he says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, the circumcision that is from the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You see, Paul was saying that there were all kind of folks that were claiming to be Jews, and they took pride in the fact that they were Jews. But he says, you may claim to be a Jew, but that don't make you a Jew. We got a lot of folks that swim the Rio Grande from other countries, and we may be having a group of ISIS come in here too. I don't know. Could very well be, folks. And all these folks come into America, and they cry out, well, we're Americans. But that didn't make you an American. Even if you were an American on the outward way, it's a lot of people today in our world say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you are one. You see, Paul is talking about that here in this text in Romans chapter 2. You can claim you're a Jew all day long, but if you're not a Jew within your heart, you're not a Jew. You're not a child of God. You're not a part of the family of our Lord. And if you're not a Christian from the heart, that doesn't make you a Christian. Paul goes on to say that we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto us. And then being made free from sin, we became the servants of righteousness. Go back, if you will, to the book of Romans 6 once again. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from, listen to it, not some kind of outward expression, not some kind of show or some kind of pretense, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What doctrine? The death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Then being made free, ye became the servants of righteousness. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians chapter 3, again 27 through 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, he says, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Baptism does not save you if it is not done from the heart. Let me explain that. People that get all charged up emotionally, they're not doing it from the heart. It's because they get emotionally involved and not doing it from the heart. Then it validates nothing at all. It doesn't. Now let me bring you to another point. It's a very sensitive one, but it's very true. Do you realize that baptism will not save you if it was done as an infant? Now people get all uptight and you say things like that, but let me explain that to you. Because there are some people, let me go back and just give you some first-hand information. My mother was christened when she was a baby. My mother was, quote, what they call baptized. But she came to the understanding after reading the Word of God that baptism was a burial in water. And that in order for one to really fulfill the commands of Jesus Christ, she had to be a believer in Christ. She said, when I was a baby, I didn't believe nothing, but I was hungry. When a baby is christened or water is put on its head, that is not New Testament baptism. Now, you can call it that all day. You can call your water Coca-Cola. You can call your Ford a Cadillac. They don't make it one. My mother was later baptized for the remission of sin, for she was buried in water and raised out of that water in the likeness of Jesus Christ, having obeyed that form of doctrine that had been delivered unto her. The Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 8, the Bible says that when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Why would not anyone who reads the scripture and understands what the Bible teaches about this subject not comply with it? I've never understood why people have such great difficulty comprehending New Testament baptism. We understand a lot of things. Sometimes it gets back to the preconceived ideas. But listen again to what Jesus taught in the book of Mark 16 and verse 16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When you are a baby, you don't believe, folks. Your brain has not developed. There are very few things that you know cognitively speaking when you come into this world. Doctors and psychiatrists will tell us that here are the two main things. You're hungry and that you are afraid of falling. Those are the two things that are very dominant in an infant. That's it. You can't believe. Babies don't understand. So in order to fulfill this command of Jesus Christ, and he understood it because he's the one that gave it. And he said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. This again negates this old concept of I believe I was saved and then I was baptized. Not so, not according to the scripture. And baptism would not save in a case like that. You see, because conditions are placed upon candidates for baptism. The Bible in the book of Acts chapter 8 in verse 13, when the Bible says that Peter spake unto Simon concerning the kingdom of God, the Bible said that Simon himself also believed and was baptized. He was baptized upon his belief. Now let me get back to another real sensitive issue here, because this one really affects a lot of people. It really does. Baptism alone does not save if one leaves God. I've had people tell me through the years, I know I'm not a churchgoer, and I'm, I don't attend with the saints, and but I believe I'm going to heaven. What's the basis for your belief? What is the basis for your belief? I can tell you the basis for mine. Don Williams sang a song several years ago. It became a classic song. It's called I Believe in You. You remember that song? And in that song, erroneously, Don Williams talks about all kinds of things. One of them was the fact that heaven doesn't just wait for those who congregate. And, you can do all manner of evil and all kinds of things, but you're still going to go to heaven. Do you know that the majority of the world today believe that? They buy into that garbage. But I'm going to tell you, folks, the Word of God doesn't say it. It doesn't. And when one says, I was baptized when I was 12 years old. I got my ticket punched and I'm on my way to glory. You may be living like the devil and hell out there, but you still believe you're going to heaven. What's the basis for your belief? You have none. Baptism alone will not save you if you leave God. For Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, and having been perfected, that is Jesus, he became the author and of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. Those who obey him. Isn't that really what he said? One of the conditions, isn't it? He said, to be faithful to death, and I'll give you the crown of life. James says, blessed is he that endureth until the end, for the same shall be saved. Bible says of Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, that he believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now that's the process, folks, isn't it? Here it is. 1 + 1 + 1, 2. Now, hearing, believing, and obeying. You cannot obey what you do not hear. You cannot believe something that you do not hear. You cannot obey something that you do not hear and that you do not believe. You may go through the act, but again, if it's not done from the heart, it doesn't please God. If one leaves the Lord, there is no hope. For the Bible in the book of Hebrews 6, verse 4 through 6, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and had become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and if tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, or the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify themselves to themselves again, the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. When you leave God, God leaves you. You mark it down, folks. God doesn't leave a man that doesn't leave him. Book of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says when men left God, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do the things that were unseemly. And for you to think erroneously in your mind that because you were baptized when you were 10, 12, 13, 14, it could have been 21 or 40, and then you left God, you are estranged from the Father who is in heaven. You're lost. If one leaves God, he is dead, spiritually speaking. Just as the body says, the Bible rather says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2 and verse 26. Jesus would say to an entire church one time in the book of Revelation 2 and verse 5, he would say, "Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you again and remove the candlestick and the lampstand out of your place, except you repent." There are some today that believe that they cannot ever be lost once they're saved. You could never lose your salvation. Again, folks, show me the basis for why you say that. I will show you the basis why I believe that man can be lost after he has sinned. The Bible in the book of 2 Peter 2 and verse 20 says, "It's better for a man to have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then depart from it. He's like the dog that returns to its own vomit and the sow that returns to the wallowing in the mire." As a matter of fact, did you know that the book of Romans all the way through the book of Revelation are books that are intended to keep the saved saved? That's what it really is all about. Keeping the saved saved. One can lose his salvation. When Simon sinned against God in the book of Acts chapter 8, Peter didn't say, "Well, it's all right. You were baptized. You were following us and you were baptized. You're still okay, Simon. Don't worry about it." You know what Peter said? He said, "I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness. Your heart is not right in this matter." And remember, I said that if your heart's not in it, you ain't in it, folks. "I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness. Your heart is not right in this matter." He said, "Repent and pray God that the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee." You know, it really staggers me when I think about all the people that claim to be, quote, Christians, that are in a lost condition. And I'm not being judicial here, folks. I'm just telling you what the good book says. It's not enough to get baptized. That's important. And I challenge people to do that all the time. But the real challenge comes after you're baptized, to live for God. That is the real issue. That brings me to number five. Baptism alone does not save you if it was done without proper understanding. You know, one of the things I think sometimes that people do, and I know they have good hearts and their spirit is right and not trying to misjudge or miscalculate anyone. Children's hearts are very tender. They are. The Bible says it is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. And therefore, everyone who has heard and learned of the Father comes to me. John chapter 6 and verse 45. I also believe very, very strongly that for a person to be right with God, he has to understand what he's doing when he's baptized. You know, a lot of people have asked me the question. I was talking with a young man over in Hallsville the other day. I say a young man. He was in his 40s, younger than me, Dwight. And that's getting younger all the time, yeah. And but anyway, he had told me, said, "You know, I was baptized when I was 10 years old, and I'm not sure that I really understood all that I needed to know when I was baptized." And I said, "Well, the way to do that is just clear it up by doing it again and know for sure." Would you want to go into an eternity to meet your Maker having a big question in your mind about your baptism? I wouldn't. It is important that we understand. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter 19, we have a classic example of some people that really didn't grasp it and really didn't understand it. When Paul was passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, the Bible says he found certain disciples there, 12 of them, and he asked them a question. He says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you were baptized?" And they said, "We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit." And he commanded them to be baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they were. If there's some question in your mind about whether you really understood what you were doing, sometimes we can psych ourselves, "Oh yeah, I understood fully what I was doing." We convince ourselves we did, instead of really being honest with ourselves. If one did not understand what he was doing when he was baptized, folks, let me tell you something. You know, the Bible says that you and I can eat of the Lord's Supper. And we can take it unworthily. You know how we take it unworthily? It's when we don't understand what we're doing when we partake of it. The Bible says when we don't discern the Lord's body, I think sometimes people just kind of flippantly take that bread and take the cup and never really give a whole lot to it. But in order to do that correctly, one has to discern and think about what this is all about while we do it. And if I can misunderstand the Lord's Supper, it is possible for me to understand baptism. And it's easy for me to say in my mind, oh, I understand baptism. I understand what I did. But did you really? I've had numerous people through the years. As a matter of fact, I baptized a woman one time who was 96 years of age. Matter of fact, Renee, that was your grandmother, Hattie Gatewood, a number of years ago. She said, you know, I was baptized when I was 8 years old. And I was baptized in what they then called a protracted meeting, Brush Arbor meeting. Some of you can remember those. And she said, I went up to be baptized because all the other kids were doing it. And I just thought it was the right thing to do. I didn't understand it. And she said, you know, I've come to the realization that I need to be baptized again. I want to do this in the right way, with the right frame of mind, thinking about what I am doing and understanding what I'm doing. Why? I want to be right with God. Brings me to the last point. Baptism alone does not save us if one believed he was saved and then baptized. Baptism puts us into Christ, as Romans 6 and verse 3 states. Baptism is where one puts on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Since salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10 says that salvation could not have occurred before baptism, because that would mean that one is saved before one is in Christ. I'm saved because I'm in Jesus. I don't want to be saved out of Jesus. Didn't intend to, don't want to be. He's my Savior and He's my Lord. Baptism is a central part of Christianity. It is essential to one's salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16. It is essential to the church. God, listen, you don't have to join the church. God puts you in the church when you get yourself in Christ. It is parallel to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You think about how beautiful that is, folks. Jesus died on the cross. He didn't immediately ascend into heaven. But he was buried in a tomb of a friend named Joseph of Arimathea, who was on the Sanhedrin ruling council in Jerusalem. He was buried in a tomb where no man had ever laid. He came from a virgin womb and was buried in a virgin tomb. And when he was buried in that virgin tomb, the Bible says that he came forth on the third day. And that burial in that tomb is what baptism is likened unto. It is. You and I are lowered in water and brought up out of that water in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. It is a point of change. And we are baptized to remove our sin. There's some things you need to know right quickly. They're so very, very important. So important. One who is saved has been baptized, but not everyone who has been baptized will be saved. Baptism, let me say something, and this might blow you too. Baptism is not for everyone. It's not. It's not for babies or infants. It's not for children. They're already saved. Why would a baby have to be baptized? He hadn't sold out to sin. You and I were created upright from my mother's womb, Zechariah said. Why would you baptize a baby anyway? He doesn't have any sin. The Bible says the son shall not, some people argue, well, he inherited his mother's sin or the sin of Adam. Not so. Show me in the Bible where it says that. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18 that the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. and neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. I'm not accountable for my children's sin. They're accountable for this sin. My mother's not accountable for my sin. I'm accountable for my sin. Babies don't need to be baptized. Children don't need to be baptized. And I'll tell you another thing. Baptism is not for those who do not believe. Not children, not for sinners who do not believe, and not, listen to this, for the unrepentant sinner. If a person isn't willing to repent and change his life, let me tell you something. You could jump up and down in that baptistry over there all day long and still be just as lost as you ever were. We need to do what they did in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says that when they heard that word, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added to the church, verse 47, daily such as were being saved. We ought to ask ourselves the question, what hinders me? Acts 8 and verse 36. That's what the Ethiopian asked, wasn't it? What hinders me to be baptized? When will you surrender to Jesus? Let me ask you that question. Today? Tomorrow? Sometime in the future? Next week? Someday? There is a tremendous danger that awaits those. You see, not obeying Christ today, that's a dangerous thing. It's true. Or even waiting till next week. Or next month, or next year. Who knows? Who knows? Christ could come, Matthew 24, and you would not be ready to meet him. You know why? You could die with your destiny sealed, with no hope. No hope. Because one who dies without Jesus and without becoming a Christian is a fool. Any way you slice it. For the book of Psalms 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, it is the fool that is said in his heart that there is no God. Let me ask you a question today. Can you say today with all of your heart, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, and in his presence daily live. Now, folks, that's the story on baptism. I hadn't preached on that subject in a long time, but I felt led by God to do it today. Because I'm going to tell you something, it is an important subject. It's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between heaven and hell. Are you ready to be baptized? That's a question. If you're ready, why do you wait? But that decision, as all decisions do, rests with you. And should you stand before God in judgment, with the realization that you put off doing what you needed to do to be right with God, you have no one to blame but yourself. That's the bottom line. You know, some people go through life blaming everybody. But, you know, it's time for people to step up to the plate and accept responsibility before God for their actions, for their words, for everything about them. For someday God shall judge the quick and the dead. I hope he judges you based upon his word that you have received Christ, you've obeyed him, and you have been baptized for the remission of sins. But if you have not, your destiny could be sealed today. Are you happy with it the way it is right now? If not, you could change it. As Delight leads us in this great song of encouragement and inspiration, let us stand.